said, I hope this will be a perfect day for you to get saved. I hate to tell you this. Today, you're going to be confronted with your salvation, whether you have it or not. This is not a mistake message. This is not a Sunday message that you get to come and make a decision whether this is God trying to separate who is right and who is wrong, who is saved, who is not, who is going to heaven, who is going to hell. I had an awesome message Friday night that I wanted to preach, and it was good. I called Scott and said, get this music ready. Man, get together with your wife. Get to pray. Get this thing so we're going to go into. And then Saturday morning, God woke me up and said, would you sacrifice that message for a plain, simple salvation message? And this is what I said. God, I'll sacrifice anything you want me to. So guess what? You're here. I watched you walk in this morning. And I said, oh, Lord, do they know what's going to happen this morning? Next Sunday, Lord willing, we're going to try to baptize some folks, and we're going to open up to the church doors if you want to join the church. But what I'm hoping through this message is we have to baptize about 15 people. Are y'all ready? I'm only going to preach about two things this morning, okay? Two things. That's how simple it is, okay? Two things. Matthew 13, verse 24. I'm going to read a lot, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to get in the Word. Where God wants to be. Matthew 13, verse 24. I'll let the pages turn until we get there. Are we there? Please read along with me. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. Verse 25, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the household came and said unto him, sir, didst thou not sow good seed in the field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather you together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Go down to verse 37. This is the answer of the parable that we just read. This is the explanation. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemies that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, do the work that only you can do this morning. Separate a man from his heart this morning, his spirit, and let him see himself, whether he be in the faith or not, whether he be saved or not. And then, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, we pray that you draw upon souls and save them, because no man can do the work of salvation but you. Take our meager effort and use it for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I stand before you a man who is saved by grace. I'm not special. I'm not different than you. I'm just called to preach the gospel. I'm just a man who needed the same grace, mercy, Calvary, shed blood than you need. I stand here for this morning to tell you two things. There's only two kinds this morning. Two things. Two planters. There's only two kinds of planters. There's ones who plant, that's Jesus. He plants, and he plants good seed. Guess where he plants it? In the light. In the daylight. In the time you're supposed to sow. In a place where you're supposed to sow. And guess what? He sows something that's going to bring forth good fruit. And when he sows it, everybody knows what it's about and what it's for. Amen. Your life, that thing that he sows, is for God and God's glory. The other planter is the devil. He plants in the darkness. He plants in the wrong places. He plants, and when he plants, he's planting for one reason and one reason only. Your glory, not God's glory. I want you to be very clear this morning. A lot of people say, how can you tell if somebody's going to be a devil worshiper or not? How can you tell if somebody worships Satan? Don't worry about the cults. Don't worry about the crazies. Worry about the people who worship themselves. That's what Satan would have you to do, is worship yourself. It's all about you. There's no fruit for the kingdom of God. Everything you do is about you, for you, and to you. If it's about God, it's for Him, about Him, and to Him. Amen? There's only two sowers. There's only two kind of fathers. Amen? There's only two fathers this morning. There's only two people who own the field. There's the Heavenly Father, and then there's the prince of the air of this world, and that's Satan. You're either a child of Satan, or you're a child of God this morning. And you can easily understand where you stand in that. Who planted you, and who are you living for? Two plants. Two planters, two plants. You think about that. One sowed good seed that came forth and it sprang up. And I love that, because guess what? When it sprang up and come up to a point, it started producing fruit. Guess what? That fruit is for the person who owns the field. That fruit is for God. That has some value to God. It's for God. It's for God's people. When he looks at it, he goes, hey, I can use that in my kingdom. That is my plant. That's good for my consumption. That's good for my fuel. That's good for me. Guess what? That's easy to discern. It's got joy. It's got peace. It's got happiness. Amen? It's got a spirit in it that, hey, it says, praise God, no matter what else is going on, God's good. Whether I'm doing great, God's good. Whether I'm being abased, God's good. I trust God. Woo! That's that first plant. That second plant, it's called a Darnell tear. It's called a Darnell tear. And I'm afraid that our churches and our world is full of Darnell tears. I don't know if your name's close to Darnell this morning, this altar's open. Amen? It's called a Darnell tear. Everywhere I've read in scriptures and explaining this, there is a plant that you can plant that grows up next to wheat. When it comes out of the ground, it looks like wheat. When it grows early, when it looks like wheat, when it gets into the time that it's producing fruit, it will never produce fruit. It'll only stand there and take up all the nutrients that the farmers have, all the water that the wheat has, all the good that the earth is supposed to give. Guess what? It'll stand there right beside the wheat, and for a period of time, look just like the wheat. It'll come to church, it'll sing songs, teach class, walk into places, lift its hands, do everything, read the Bible, pray, do all the things that other people do, but in the end, it will never produce fruit. It really isn't about God, it's about themselves. But when you're standing next to the wheat, you look just like them. You look just like them to everybody in the field. To people that don't know, they think, man, that's a Christian. That person goes to Flat Top Church. That goes to a Christian church. That one right there. Guess what? You can be in church. You can show up every Sunday. You can hold office in this church. You could be a preacher, a teacher, a singer. You can come every time the door is open. And you can look just like the rest of us here that believe in Jesus Christ. But guess what? God's looking. No, listen to me. God's looking. God knows what fruit is and what fruit isn't. Guess what? He is the planter. See, listen, when he walked out there the next morning when the devil had sowed seed in that field, it didn't take the one who owns the field one half second to look at that field and said, wait a minute, the enemy has sowed in my field. I want to tell you this morning, I want to be very clear. You can be sitting here and you know you come to church here over and over and over and God deals with your heart and you're resisting to turn your life over to God. You say, I'm okay, I'm just like them. But guess what? There's something in here. Every time you hear the gospel, every time you hear somebody testify, every time you hear a song, it convicts you and brings you to a place of repentance, but you will not come. You're going to become a Darnell weed. Two planters, two plants, two plans. Two plans. Here's what the plans were. Jesus said, let them stay. God said, let them stay in the field. Don't rip them out. Amen? Don't rip them out. Let them grow together. I'm going to preach to the Christian here for a minute. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. You, guess what? We're sitting in a field of lost people and saved people. No, listen. Some of y'all need to hear this. Some of y'all wonder why. Why do some people act that way? Why do they say those things? Why do they do those things? What happened? You need to mark it down. God knows that you're in a field full of Darnell weeds. Amen. He knows it's going to be difficult to deal with people. But guess what? That has no excuse for you. Keep producing fruit, keep loving God, and keep rising up towards heaven. Amen? Keep showing up and showing out for God. Praise God, despite of the trouble you'll go through because you're in a field of wheat and tares. Man, some of you believers would be all right every once in a while if they thank God. Thank God that explained that something to me. Praise God. That's why you have difficulty with sometimes even in the church, even in ministry. Praise God, not everybody in here is saved. Not everybody that says they're in ministry is saved. Not every preacher is saved. Not every teacher is saved. Not every... Did I say preacher again? You know what? There's going to be some people that preach the gospel, and guess what? They're going to come to the end of their life, and they're going to stand before God and say, did we not preach your word? Did we not cast out devils? Did we not do these things? And he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Amen. So if there's some preachers that are doing it, I guarantee you there are some members that are doing it. Amen. So as a believer, you got to come to church anyway. You got to live for God anyway. You got to testify anyway. If you know that you're saved, guess what? Be wheat in the field, amen? And just be glorifying to God. You're productive to the kingdom of God. He planted you for a reason. The enemy had another plan. Let's just rip them up. See, the devil has come to steal and to kill and destroy. God has given you a life and life more abundantly, but the devil says, you know what? I'll kill the Christian and the lost person. Let's just dig them up, amen? That's what the devil's trying to do in every church across America right now. He would love to come in here and just rip it out, amen? He would just love to rip the roots out of this church. Guess what? God says, let them grow together. Because you know what? God's good. He is the only farmer I know. He is the only farmer that I know that can change a wheat into a tare or a weed into wheat. Woo! Listen, God is the only person I know who will say, leave the weeds in the field because I've got a son named Jesus who can turn a wheat into wheat, who can turn a bad thing into a good thing. Praise God. Somebody told me a while back, somebody keeps showing up to church. I don't know if they got it. I don't know if they're saved. I don't know. You know what? I don't know if they got it. Praise God. Listen, here's what I say to that all the time. Let them keep coming. Let them keep coming. Amen? Because I've got enough faith in God that if a weed keeps showing up in good places, amen, God will eventually jump all over that weed like a weed killer, amen, and he'll make it do two things. He'll either draw it or he'll send it. Oh, God will either draw it and save it and change it, or that weed will have to take off because God's that good, amen? He don't mind sometimes if you keep showing up, praise God, he's got a way of working on you, amen? I'm glad, listen, hey, those two plans, said one of them said, hey, let's just leave them where they're at. The next one's 10 months. No, God said, yeah, I got another plan. Just leave them right there. I'm glad of that second plan because for a long time, I was a weed sitting in the house of God. I mean, I was a weed who went to church. And I was in there and I was pulling all the good out of the church just like the rest of the week was, and I was eating and taking advantage of and being a part of. And man, one day God said, hey, I've got to deal with you. Either you got to get in or you got to get out. Amen? Either I'm going to let you stay and you're going to become something good to me, or I'm going to have to pull you out by the root and get rid of you in this ministry. Guess what? I didn't stay. Hey, it didn't take long. August 28 of 04, God says, what do you want to be? You want to be wheat or you want to be a weed? You want to be a tare or you want to be mine? I said, God, I don't know how you're going to do it, but can you change this weed into some wheat? I don't know if I'm going to be very productive. I don't know if I'm going to be a good one for you. But God, I'd rather be yours than the devil's. I'd rather you. Can you do a restoration package on me? Can you change who I am? Can you graft me? Can you take me from being just an old sorry person and graft me into the kingdom of God and make me worth something? Some of y'all need to make up your mind this morning. Are you going to keep serving the devil or are you going to serve yourself? Some of you are sitting here this morning and you wonder why life won't work out. Why is my marriage falling apart? Get Jesus in it. No, I'm not talking about pray about it. I'm talking about you get sold out to Jesus. You say, well, it's her fault. Pray about it. You get sold out to Jesus. It's his fault. You pray about it. You get sold out to Jesus. You become so loving that a person can't help but love you. Well, it ain't working out with my kids. Get Jesus involved. No, I'm not talking about surface level. I'm not talking about calling the pastor. I'm not talking about putting them on a prayer chain. I'm talking about getting God so invested in your life, they would believe, man, mama's changed. Daddy's changed. They're serving and worshiping God. They're not just doing surface level. They love God more than they love me. I see people's lives falling apart all the time, and they think coming to church on a Sunday morning is going to fix it. Coming to Jesus is what fixes it. Coming here is the first step. The next step is surrendering your life to Christ. Surrendering your whole life to Him. That's what He wants, because He surrendered His whole life for you. That was His plan. His plan is, I'll go down there and I'll become a wheat and a tare amongst them. I'll live right amongst them. I'll go on a cross and die for every sin they've ever committed. That's God's big plan. That's the fertilizer that changes people that are tares into people that are saved. It's called the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And when it gets on you, it changes you from what you were to what you are. What God had wanted you to be from the beginning. It's amazing. You got two planters, two plants, two plans, two prospects. I had to keep all the P's lined up. Two prospects. I hate to tell you this, but we only got two prospects. I wished I lived in a world like today here in America in 2018, 2019. I wish I had the same, just many gods, many ways, many things. God said there's two. Two. There's only two prospects for you this morning. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. You're either saved or you're lost. You're either forgiven or unforgiven. Amen? You're either a wheat or a tare. You're either a child of God or a child of Satan. Do you understand that this morning? And you can't fool people. You can fool people, but you can't fool God. You can keep coming to this church until your life ends or until God comes back. But when He comes back, He's going to examine you. You're going to have to stand before Him. And He's only going to look for one thing. One thing. Jesus. Did you believe in Him? And there's a lot of people in here who say, well, I believed in Him. Well, the devils believe also, and they tremble. But not only do you have to believe, but then you have to confess with your mouth. You have to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that He is Lord. Not only believe that He existed, you got to say, guess what? I believe that He was God in the flesh, on a cross, dying for my sins. I believe that, and I repent from my wicked ways, and I want Him to be the Lord of my life. And when you say, I want Him to be the Lord of my life, that means He has full control. He's necessary. He's not an act. He's not something you just add to Him. Amen? He's not some part you put on your life. He becomes the necessary piece of your life. He's not an accessory. Thank you, Scott. He's not an accessory. He's not something you put on the vehicle. He is the vehicle. Is He that for you this morning? Listen, I'm being honest with you. The scariest thing for me as a pastor is for somebody to be coming to church and hiding out in the house of God, thinking just because you're here, that's okay. I love that you're here. We want you to keep coming back. But praise God, we want you to go to heaven. We want you to be saved. Because once you get saved, your whole life changes. It gets totally different. The songs we sing here will be different to you. Because when you first start hearing them, you think, that's good songs to us. No, they're good songs to Him. The prayers get different. You realize you're talking to God. The messages get different. Amen? You get different to the community, your workplace, your family. I come to church here on a regular basis, have for the last 3 years. Wouldn't it be amazing if somebody seen you live in such a way that all of a sudden they start saying, wait a minute, you're totally different now. I've never seen you read like that. I've never seen you pray like that. I've never seen you share the gospel like that. I've never seen you be that way. And wouldn't that make you a new creature in Christ? Wouldn't that make you somebody say, hey, they're acting like little Christians? When that was said in the Bible, they were called Christians at Antioch first. It's the first time in the Bible they were used Christians. You know why? Because the people looked at them and said, they're acting like little bitty Christ. Has anybody ever accused you of being a Christian? Not you telling them that you are one. Have you ever been accused of being one? Are you a wheat? Are you a tare? Let's all stand this morning as they come get a song. Listen, I'm going to stand down right here at the front of this altar.